are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode for Wednesday, April the 15th, and taking it back today to 2004 and 1989. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, also a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for staying with us during the quarantine, the pandemic, all the bad news that we're hearing about every single day. Looks like it's inching towards getting a little bit better in time, but also our thoughts are with those who have lost loved ones or those who might be battling sickness or all those other bad things that are a result of this plague on us right now. Obviously, the job losses being another consideration. But today on the show, we're going to recap Game 4 of the 2004 NBA Finals. We relived that moment on Fox Sports Detroit on Monday night. Then we watched the Pistons again, taking on Magic and the Lakers in Game 2 of the 89 Finals. We'll talk about those. Got some big takeaways from those games, three big takeaways. We're also going to hear from a special guest later on about the Detroit Bad Boys Pistons Twitter bracket. So check that out a little bit later on. Give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash Matt Shook. But I mentioned the coronavirus. Obviously, it's on a lot of our minds constantly, pretty much these days, but we got some really good news from Detroit Pistons land. We talked last week about how Maury Hanks, the scout of the Pistons, was afflicted with coronavirus, but then recovered and was eventually released from the hospital. Well, the other good news is that Fox Sports Detroit freelance cameraman Kevin Calhoun was also reportedly recently released from the hospital. He's on the mend as well. So shout out to Kevin for fighting and winning against the coronavirus. And of course, even those who didn't have as great of a result or are still fighting it, they're still heroes too. We're looking for everyone to pull through as good as we possibly can here in the Detroit area. It's been hitting us really hard here in the Metro Detroit region, especially inside of the city of Detroit. But a nice little respite during this tough times has been watching the Detroit Red Wings and Tigers and Pistons playing on Fox Sports Detroit. Good thing they don't play Lions games. Maybe they will down the road. We'll see. But Fox Sports Detroit finally got their act together. They showed us a lot of 2019 Pistons games and Red Wings games and all that, and last year's Tigers games at the beginning of this. But finally got their act together and showing us the classics that we want to see. So it's been fun to relive a lot of those moments. Pistons will be back in action tonight on Fox Sports Detroit. By the way, I believe it's Game 3 of 1989. So some more good things to watch as the Pistons go back to the Great Western Forum up 2-0, and we'll see what happens with the rest of the series. I don't know when they are showing Game 5 of the 2004 Finals, by the way. I think they've got everything scheduled out for the rest of this week. A little bit more of the Red Wings going against Carolina and Washington at some point in two different games this week. And then Game 1 of the 84 World Series between the Tigers and Padres. I think they're just kind of throwing us, shuffling it all up and showing us a lot of games, and maybe they'll have like the final week of April be all the championship clinching games or something like that. I'm not privy to those details, but hopefully Fox Sports Detroit releases a schedule of next week with a new batch of great games to watch as we try to keep ourselves entertained, stuck in the house here in Michigan and beyond. But the Pistons got the win on Monday night. We watched that one against the LA Lakers, both these games against the Lakers. Obviously, 88-80 was the win at the Palace of Auburn Hills in Game 4 of the 2004 Finals. Get the stranglehold of the series, Rasheed Wallace, vintage game. I shouldn't say that, though. I mean, Rasheed, you watch this game, kind of left you wanting a little bit, right? That was like Sheed at his best, getting the revenge against the Lakers for what they did to him and the Trailblazers a couple years before this. You know, and I'm not saying Sheed needs to go out and get 26-13 every night, but you know, it's like, where's that maybe a little bit more often? Where's that even 18 every now and then? It seemed like Sheed had it in him, but was you know, what the Pistons needed offensively when he was called upon, and obviously a great leader defensively as well. But a vintage game for him, everything that you would want and hope for from Rasheed Wallace. Chauncey Billups, 23 points, including two big threes late in the game en route to his finals MVP performance. Some late magic to run away with it at the end. And also, like we talked about Tuesday night, the Pistons and the LA Lakers. The Lakers, that game, were the only team, the first team in the entire playoffs in 1989 to get 100 points against the Pistons. It was not enough as the Pistons get the win 108 to 105 with a dominant performance in the fourth quarter, taking a, what was a deficit at 8 points at one time and stormed to a big win. And the Lakers made it a good game at the end, actually had the ball at the very end with a chance to tie the game. And A.C. Green, I believe, with the inbounds pass, didn't see Tony Campbell kind of coming around, going to the opposite side of the court. He was open for three, but they tried to force it to, I don't remember who it was, somebody else. And Byron Scott and Magic Johnson on the bench with hamstring injuries during this one. But the story offensively for the Pistons was Joe Dumars with 33 points and six assists. An outstanding game from him. Of course, Isaiah Thomas was strong with 21 points. Vinny Johnson, 18 points off the bench. Add that up with Mark Aguirre. Throw those wings and guards together, and that's a formidable group of players for anyone to deal with, and especially, like I said, with Magic Johnson suffering the hamstring injury in the third quarter, which would end his NBA Finals after an outstanding start to the game for him. 18-9-6 despite missing the final quarter and a half of this game because of the injury that would put him out for the rest of the season. My brother Brian came up with the stat of the day. Maybe we'll lean on him for some more stats during the quarantine here, but he pointed out that in 1989, and he kind of posed it as a question, that with the Pistons winning the championship in 1989 and the combination of Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas tying for 17th in the MVP voting that year, was that the lowest finish in MVP voting for the top player in MVP votes for a world championship team? Well, kind of in modern times, quote unquote, the answer is yes. But we got to go back to 1978 and see that the Washington Bullets did not have a player get any votes for the NBA MVP when they won the championship that year. That was Mitch Kupchak and Bobby Dandridge and Wes Unseld, who was kind of the heart and soul of that team, but more of a rebounding defensive player, which, yeah, but still really impressive. And that, and back then, they didn't have, I don't think they were giving five spots for MVP ballots back like they did for Isaiah and Joe. So 89, Isaiah and Joe tied for 17th, which was dead last. And they were the only people tied for 17th. They each got one vote for fifth place apiece on that voting. So almost didn't get voted at all. The following season, 1990, of course, Pistons win the championship again. Joe and Isaiah tied once again for 13th, getting 1 point apiece. So four total MVP points awarded to the Pistons as a team, with Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas getting two apiece in each of those two seasons. They tied for 13th in 1990, and that is, yes, right up amongst one of the lowest finishes for the best player of a championship team. Kind of shows how the Pistons embodied team back in the day. And, of course, 2004, Ben Wallace, the highest vote-getter for the Pistons in the regular season MVP voting that year. He was seventh, and that was kind of among the lowest in all of these years that I look back on. 2014, however, for the San Antonio Spurs, Duncan and Parker, a team that kind of coasted in the regular season and turned it up in the playoffs, got the revenge championship against the Miami Heat that year. They tied for 12th in 2014. Some other notable finishes along these lines, because I went through all these numbers, wanted to share them with you. Magic Johnson was 8th in 1982. That was pretty low for the highest, especially considering it's Magic and Kareem back then. Dwayne Wade, 6th in 2006, the year that they beat Dirk Nowitzki and the Dallas Mavericks. And when the other shoe, when the shoe was on the other foot in 2011, when Dirk beat the Heat and Dwayne Wade, he was 6th that season that the Dallas Mavericks got the title. 2017, now 17 and 18, a little strange because the Warriors were such a great team that obviously guys weren't finishing very high in MVP voting. Steph Curry was 6th in 2017. Kevin Durant was 7th in 2018. And then 2019, Kawhi Leonard was pretty low down on the list for the Toronto Raptors because he was doing a lot of load management that year. He was ninth in MVP voting. And then before the season after that Washington Bullets 1978, 1979, you had the Seattle Supersonics and Jack Sikma, seventh overall in MVP voting. So some nuggets for you guys to digest right there. But up next, we got some more takeaways from the NBA Finals 2004-1989. I enjoyed watching these games, and I got some thoughts on it. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to hear from Evan. That's right, my fierce foe for the Detroit Bad Boys Pistons Twitter tournament, which I believe you can still be able to vote on for several hours after this episode drops on Wednesday morning. But I've got a bunch of thoughts for you on the games we watched these last couple nights on Fox Sports Detroit. First of all, back to Monday night, Gary Payton and Karl Malone. This would be Karl Malone's final NBA game because he didn't play in Game 5. He got hurt in Game 4, did not return next season, was going to come back possibly to the Lakers. There were rumors of him coming back next the next season after this. He actually had a really good relationship with Kobe until Vanessa was walking by on when Karl was sitting in some courtside seats at one of the games. Karl was wearing his traditional cowboy attire, and Vanessa says, "What you hunting, cowboy?" Or what you look, what you doing, cowboy? Something like that. And Karl jokes, just out here hunting little Mexican girls, in kind of a flirtatious gone wrong, which kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back for the Kobe Bryant Karl Malone friendship. So some good memories there. Also great memories watching Chauncey Billups just annihilate Gary Payton. And I mean, I know of course Karl Malone, like we said, this was his last NBA game. Gary Payton would go on to play three more NBA seasons. He would go on to win a ring with the Miami Heat. He started a lot of games for the Boston Celtics the following year, but my man was just done. I mean, obviously not a fit for the triangle offense, wanted to, as a guy who wanted to get up and down the court, but Chauncey Billups just abused Gary Payton, future Hall of Famer right there. So Chauncey Billups, by the way, should be a future Hall of Famer. That was one of the things that really stood out about this game, was really the way that the Pistons annihilated Kobe and Shaq and those Lakers teams, two obvious no-brainer Hall of Famers in Kobe and Shaq. But then you got a whole Pistons team of guys who just drubbed them at the, you know, Pack or Shaq at the end of his prime, and maybe Kobe the beginning parts of his prime. But then you have best five alive, man. Rasheed Wallace, Chauncey Billups, Ben Wallace in particular, Rip Hamilton maybe to a lesser extent, and Tayshaun Prince probably to a lesser extent even from that. But those top three, especially when you include what Rasheed Wallace was able to do with his Portland Trailblazers days, which is most accomplished as an individual, then, of course, winning the ring with the Pistons, and still going on to have a few more good seasons, going to Game 7 with the Boston Celtics as a member of that team as well. Obviously, also the last Kobe and Shaq game ever would be Game 5 of the NBA Finals this season, as Shaq is then dealt to the Miami Heat, and Kobe signs the long extension, although he almost gets traded to the Detroit Pistons a couple seasons after that. So a lot of things in this game that are happening. Another thought that I had was Darko. You really saw both sides of the Joe Dumars equation, right? Just how good he put together that team, the best five alive, and the shrewd acquisitions that he made happen to get that team together. But then, of course, you saw Darko, which didn't hurt the Pistons in terms of their championship chances in 2004. Of course, if you're a Pistons fan with a pulse, you'll go to your grave thinking about Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and what could have been for the next era of Pistons basketball with one of those cornerstones kind of leading the way. And that Darko pick was kind of the beginning of the end in a long roundabout way for the Joe Dumars era. I always talk about Joe Dumars as an executive being great because he won the championship, but just how great it was for the first half of his tenure with the Pistons, and then just how bad it was after that. It seemed like every move couldn't go wrong for the first half of his tenure, and after that he couldn't get out of his own way, couldn't do anything right after that. But just how improbable it was for the Pistons to kind of lose Grant Hill in that offseason, and then just a few years later to have Ben Wallace be one of the cornerstones, of course, of this team to turn it around in a different direction. But speaking of Joe Dumars, how good was he on Tuesday night in that replay of Game 2 of the NBA Finals in 1989. 33 points, spry as ever. It's just kind of stands out how small Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas are as a backcourt. Of course, Joe Dumars made up for with how he played defensively, but just it's strange to think of those guys with that size being you couldn't exploit them. There's nothing you could do against those guys with your offense because, like I said, Joe, so good defensively, and even if there was some world where there was a big guard out there that could possibly do some damage against the Pistons, maybe you shift over a guy like Rodman, a guy like John Sally to kind of rough him up a little bit. And if they did get to the lane, of course, there were guys like Mahorn and Lambeer and James Edwards waiting for those guys. What great teams, right? Just amazing to watch these teams play. And that gets to my biggest takeaway from these games. Really, I hate to say it. Maybe I don't hate to say it. It makes you really detest everything that's happened since the 04 Pistons and the end of that era, not just 05, of course. Great memories from that season as well. 06 to a lesser extent and 07 as it goes on. But, man, it just you think about what the Detroit Pistons are right now, and it's just shameful what this whole last decade has been and dragging this franchise through the mud. I'm talking about ownership all the way down. Just not the same. The Palace of Auburn Hills, all the great memories that you had watching those games on TV, how loud that crowd was in 2004, Mason going nuts on a national stage. Before that, in 89, you had Ken Calvert making his presence felt. Rock and Roll Part 2, Gary Glitter playing during the timeouts. They should have stayed with those commercial breaks and just played how loud the Palace got, how good of a feeling that was. Of course, Final Countdown coming on by Europe. It important parts of games, and in addition to the player introductions for the Pistons as well, just gets goosebumps, sends chills down your spine thinking about it, and just how crap, how much, you know, shit this team has been since then. It actually makes me kind of mad to think about this, the Andre Drummond era that was a pathetic whimper at the end of it. Even, you know, a guy like Blake Griffin, who we like and respect, that he plays hard and all that. He's not playing defense the way that the 2004 Pistons did, the way the 1989 Pistons did in those eras. It got me to thinking about building this team. And, of course, it's a little bit different building a team in 2020 than it was back in those days. And you got to take the scoring. You got to take the offense into consideration. But just make sure you get tough-minded guys for the Detroit Pistons roster. That's all I ask. Even if it doesn't end in a title, even if it doesn't end in another great storied run, another great team that we hold up in such high esteem, at least get teams that we can be proud of here in Detroit, because we have not been able to do that here in these last 16 years since watching the 2004 team be on the top of the basketball world. 16 years. Suddenly, that is now a long time ago. And in Pistons years, it is just an eternity. So with this, you know, shutdown we have, with this time at home, with this kind of rethinking of organizations, I'm going to make that, and I know maybe you guys get tired of me being old school Matt and talking about building this team with toughness, but I'm going to turn it up a notch. I'm making it even more a priority as I talk about the draft and talk about free agency. I want Detroit Piston type of players. That doesn't mean you have to get into fights. That doesn't mean you have to be fighting tenacity. Just that you're a tough-minded person and that you're someone who that shows through night in and night out. And you're just a type of guy, a type of Pistons DNA that is missing from this franchise, that gets the fans behind this team, that gets Little Caesars Arena a rocking, which we haven't seen yet, which gets those atmospheres like we had back in the day as I was growing up, like a lot of you guys were growing up at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Let's get some of those days back. Let's get some of that team back. Let's get some of that toughness back in this Detroit Pistons organization. That's my challenge to those guys out there. But up next, we're going to hear from Evan. He's going to tell you why you should vote for him in the Detroit Bad Boys Pistons Twitter contest over me in our first round matchup that's concluding today on Wednesday. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, as we talked about on Monday's show with editor of the Detroit Bad Boys website, they got the Pistons Twitter contest going on. I'm a 4 seed. I'm going up against 13 seed, my guy Evan. And Evan's doing a good job promoting the contest out there. I did retweet it on Tuesday, and fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, I got a little bit of a lead on him as I taped this late on Tuesday night, something like 54 to 46%. So If you want to help me out, get to the second round, that would be fine. But if you want to vote Evan, go ahead and do that too. And we're all about equal time here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I don't want to manipulate all of the airtime here. So we're going to give Evan equal time. He's coming out of Macomb, Michigan. So here's Evan. I tasked him with giving the listeners some reasons to vote for him. So here's Evan telling you about why you should vote for him in the Pistons Twitter contest on DetroitBadBoys.com through Twitter. Here's Evan.
What's up, everybody? It's Sekou Got Next on Twitter, otherwise known as Evan. And I just want to tell all of y'all to vote for me on the Detroit Bad Boys Twitter account. I'm going up against the great host of Locked On Pistons. Much love to him, by the way. And, yeah, I just want to call and tell everyone to go vote for me. We're up 52% to 48 right now. It's a big thing. I'm a big underdog, but, yeah, go Pistons. And thank you guys for letting me make this call.
That's my guy, Evan. Appreciate the shout-out from him. And I'll say it again. I voted for myself. I would encourage you to vote for myself, but do take Evan into consideration. Nice to see those 13 seeds get the win. I'm going to lay it out like this. If you want to vote for me, only do it because you're kind of in it for the long haul. I want to either make a nice little run in this tournament, or we can go ahead and let Evan get the victory. So if you're thinking about who to vote for, if you're not thinking about voting for me maybe one or two or three more games, I'm not saying I need your commitment to go all the way to the championship. I'm realistic. I understand that that's probably not going to happen. But don't vote for me and then vote against me in the second round or even the third round. I want two more votes from you if you're going to vote for me. If you can't do that, if you can't make that kind of a commitment, just go ahead, bounce me out, and let's move Evan on to the second round. So that's kind of my negotiation with you guys, the listeners, you guys, the voters. Would appreciate your vote, but really want to get to that, you know, final four, something like that, maybe even Elite Eight. Feel good. We can knock off the one seed if Amari makes it that far, or maybe the 16 seed if Luke's able to get the win over him. But, yeah, check out the Detroit Bad Boys Pistons Twitter contest. Again, another shout-out to Sean Corp for putting that together. Shout-out to my guy, Evan. We'll see what happens. May the best Twitter account win. And if I do lose by the time you hear this and Evan moves on, congratulations, young man. Good luck to you. You have my vote for the rest of the tournament if you win out or if you beat me. And if I am able to get the win by the time you hear this, then job well done, Evan. Good luck going forward. Stick with Pistons Twitter. I got a good feeling that you're going to be a guy who's going to make noise in these kind of contests going forward. But that's secondary to the fact that you're a big Pistons fan and you're a guy who could be on the rise in media world and social media world as well. So keep at it. And it'll be funny if you're hearing me give this advice by the time you listen to this and see that he already beat me. So I'm giving advice to the person who's a lot younger and a lot more green and has less Twitter followers and all that and who beat me in this contest. So probably unintentional comedy ensuing no matter what happens as you listen to this back here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But that'll just about do it for us here on the show today. We'll have two more shows this week. We're going to have my buddy Beware coming on, talking about the Pistons, most influential Pistons of all time bracket. That's going to be a two-parter. We had fun on Easter night over the weekend, breaking down the round of 32 into the Sweet 16. I got my guests lined up for next week. We're going to knock it down from there. A couple of Cinderella runs to the Sweet 16, so you can be excited to listen to that as me and Beware have a little two-parter coming out to you Thursday and Friday. As that wraps up this edition of the Locked On Pistons podcast, I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, play your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.